Well, it's Monday morning. We just came off the very first weekend of the month of April. Being a Monday morning, we're going to chat with our friends from Northeastern Vermont Regional Hospital and their partners. And checking in with us this morning, some of you may know her, Suzanne Lesnick, Prevention Coalition Coordinator at Northeast Prevention Coalition. I want to say good morning to you, Suzanne, and a happy Monday.
Same to you, Jeff. Good morning.
Suzanne, first off, I want to thank you for all that you do in the Prevention Coalition. And we understand that it is Alcohol Awareness Month and Substance Misuse Awareness as well. We all know that those two subjects are very, very important subjects. Which one do you want to start with first, and how would you like to lead into things?
Well, because it's Alcohol Awareness Month, let me first talk a little bit about prevention and who the people are in our neighborhood, so to speak, and then I can talk about alcohol use in the Northeast Kingdom. Well, the prevention work in the Northeast Kingdom, one of the things that everyone should be aware of is that the communities in Vermont are very unique, and the first thing that we look at in prevention is what's going on in our immediate community. So that any prevention work we do is very specific to our region. And that's important because in prevention, one size certainly does not fit all. People who come to prevention, though, they don't think about it in high school or in college and think, oh, I'm going to go into work in prevention. Almost 100% of the people who become prevention specialists come from a wide variety of disciplines. Some fall into it by accident. Some have mental health backgrounds and substance misuse backgrounds. And so it's very interesting to have an eclectic group working with the community.
Well, if I may here, what are some of the common denominators that you find here in the region that we live in?
Well, it's pretty, I will tell you that about 25% at the quarter of young people who are between the ages of 12 and 20 illegally consume alcohol. So about a quarter of our youth. So that's an illegal situation, which brings some other things to bear. And then of that 25%, 14 of them are engaged in binge drinking, which is really a serious problematic. And just so in case your audience is unaware, binge drinking, whether it's for a youth or an adult, refers to consuming four or more drinks for women and five or more drinks for men in a sitting.
Is it considered a problem if it's done every day, every night, every day, every night? Is it considered a problem if it's done once or twice a week, once or twice a month?
That's a good question. So if we're looking at youth, it should be zero until they become of legal age, and one, they're legally able to purchase, and we hope that by the time they're 21, they have their own ability to make good decisions about their health. When we talk about adults, for example, that an estimated one in five deaths among adults between the ages of 20 and 49 is due to excessive alcohol use. So for adults, you have issues related to liver disease. It may lead to other substance use. Also, motor vehicle accidents are certainly affect adults in that age range. And it's a progressive stage. It does also lead to some dementia. It can, again, but you asked about the amount of alcohol. You know, that's again, very unique to your own body and your genetics and so forth. You don't understand all the chemistry yet, but some people are more prone to developing disease as an adult from alcohol use. Maybe, again, like I said, the genetics and some of your area, maybe your blood pressure is in the family to begin with, or diabetes, or even dementia, and then using alcohol, as you were saying, every day could spark that and cause it to arise a lot earlier than it might have if you hadn't been. Again, what we forget about is that as we get older, most of us are using more and more medication, and we don't think necessarily about the interaction of the alcohol with the medication.
Suzanne, that was a great answer. Folks, if you've just joined us, Suzanne Lesnick, Prevention Coalition Coordinator at Northeast Prevention Coalition, discussing the Alcohol Awareness Month that we're in right now. Suzanne, in the time that we've got, I have a two-part question for you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
In your experience, do you find, this is part one, do you find that people don't see alcohol as much a problem because it's legal versus the illegal drugs out there like substances? And do you find also too, or have you found that alcohol is sometimes used as a lead-in drug to others?
Great question. So let me first say that yes, alcohol, I'll work backwards, is a lead-in in a sense that, especially as youth today, we look at the last 20 years, if a youth, the statistics report that if you begin drinking alcohol around the age of 13, the odds of moving on and becoming an addict, whether it's with alcohol or some other substance, is tremendously high. So when we look at people who are being served in recovery situations, we find that it began at a very young age and with alcohol. So that's the first part of the answer. The other thing we have to keep in mind with the youth today, what's acceptable, let's take in Vermont. You asked about the legality. So we do have the issue of cannabis, marijuana being legal. And we are in the throes as a state of looking at what does that accessibility look like for youth? And what does it look like when they combine things? So, for example, you can imagine that mixing alcohol and cannabis, and then as a youth, and your brain is developing, and you're going out and you're driving home from the prom or something like that, the state police report that more likely they find a double use with youth, that when they pull them over for DUI, that they test positive for alcohol and often another substance, which is, again, frequently marijuana in our particular area. Did I answer both those questions?
Did a great job. I thank you for it. And again, folks, Suzanne Lesnick from the Northeast Prevention Coalition. Suzanne, if folks have any questions for you, can they reach out to you?
Yes, they can. Also, we have the coalition has a website. Very easy. It's our initials, NPC, at NBRH.com. And you can reach us. You can email through that particular medium. And there's also many opportunities to pick up materials. We do have in the state of Vermont an organization called HealthLink. That would be a good start. And I think it would be hard in the radio to spell out websites and so forth, so I'm just going to give you the name. That HealthLink is exceptional. And then also locally we have, not locally, but in the state, we have a program called Parent Up. So if you're a parent, you've actually had some interesting questions from parents who have been in recovery about how do they keep their youth from using, because they think about their history and how they got involved. So Parent Up provides toolkits and conversations about how you're a parent or an adult caregiver of a youth to talk with them about all substances. But here today we're talking specifically about alcohol.
Suzanne, thank you very much. It's an awful lot of information. Folks, again, you can find out more at nvrh.org. Suzanne, we look forward to more chats for you in the future. Make it a good Monday, okay?
Thank you very much, Jeff.